Welcome to episode number 128 of Educate and Rejuvenate the podcast. Let's talk mental health with Christina Kuzmich. I can almost guarantee that you or somebody you know has struggled with their mental health. And I feel like this is such an important topic for those of us who are educators because we likely come in contact with students or our own children who need their support through their struggles. And we also need to remember our own too. So today I'm interviewing Christina Kuzmich, viral social media sensation and best-selling author. So let's get to it. Welcome to Educate and Rejuvenate, the podcast to help you revitalize your teaching, renew your spirit, and reignite your passion for life. I'm your host, Kelsey Sorensen, a former teacher, current homeschool mom, published author, and certified life coach. Whether you are a teacher in a traditional classroom, homeschool from your kitchen table, or anywhere in between, I am on a mission to help you not only survive as an educator, but thrive. Get ready to uplevel your skills with incredible insights from guest experts and discover the missing piece, rejuvenating yourself. Are you ready to both educate and rejuvenate? Let's go. In case you missed our big announcement last week, we are rebranding. So Wife Teacher Mommy is becoming Educate and Rejuvenate. So if you missed the last 2 weeks of episodes, be sure to go back and listen to those because I share the whole story and about what you're going to see going forward over there. I don't want to take up too much time today because we've got a longer interview today, and it's longer because it's incredible because it is Christina Kuzmich and I just love her. She's got so much value to share. So I really want to get to that really soon. I'm so excited for her to be here, and she's the perfect guest to be the first guest I bring on to the newly rebranded Educate and Rejuvenate the podcast. And it's only the second episode since we've rebranded too. And she's also one of our two incredible keynote speakers at the Educate and Rejuvenate conference. And some of the listeners here, many of you have already grabbed a ticket. There are hundreds of you who've already snagged your ticket. And there are even more of you who are in our Educate and Rejuvenate club, which the doors are closed right now, but our club members get to come to the event as part of what they pay each month. If you're not either of those people, if you haven't grabbed a ticket and you're not in the club, trust me, you want to snag your ticket. And you're going to want to do it now because the sooner you grab your ticket, the better the bonuses are. You'll make sure you don't accidentally forget and miss out on this event. And we also tend to do a pre-party and stuff for our attendees before the event begins. So you might as well, if you're going to do it, you might as well snag your ticket to join us. It's only $19. Well, $19.99. Same thing basically. So for less than $20, you'll get to come to Christina's keynote to see her. I just paid $75 to see her in person when she comes to Salt Lake. And I know Gasper quite a bit to go to one of his shows too. So even one of each of our keynotes. And then we have some really fun workouts planned. Again, you're getting the workouts, you're getting the professional development with all the sessions from topics like science of reading and STEM and writing and mental health for educators, teacher burnout, organization, classroom management, so much homeschooling. We've got a whole homeschool panel for those of you who are homeschool moms, and that doesn't take away from the teachers. We've got two separate tracks and you can pick and choose sessions or you can do both. Trust me, you do not want to miss out on the chance to join us at this event. So you can go to the link in the show notes, which will take you directly to the event. You can also go to educateandrejuvenate.com. As I'm recording, that'll take you directly to the event, but we're also in the works of turning that into our just overall domain, but that would take you to our homepage once that's done. And we'll usually, the bar at the very top of the website when we're promoting an event is that, and just click on event in the header, you'll find your way there. So we are really excited for our summer 2024. It's our third event. Thousands of teachers have enjoyed this event in the past, so we'd love you to come join us for our third year. I really believe it's going to be our best one yet. Okay, so without further ado, let's get to our interview. I'm so excited to have Christina on the show today. Before we dive in, I'm going to read her bio for you really quick. So Christina is a cheerleader for her fellow humans. It's not something she ever anticipated doing, but after immigrating to America from Croatia during the war in her homeland and later facing more challenges like divorce, single parenting, poverty, and depression, Christina wanted to be for others what she wished someone had been for her during her darkest hours. Now with over 1 billion video views, Christina is providing her audience with encouragement, hope, and humor. So I'm so excited to have her back on the podcast. This is our second interview together. So if you love this one, make sure to go back and listen to the first one as well. Now let's get to the interview. Hi, Christina. I'm so excited to have you back on the podcast.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you back as a keynote again at our Educate and Rejuvenate conference and to have you on the podcast again as well. I would love to hear a little bit about like what you've been up to since we last talked, like a short intro for those who might just be tuning in now, but then also like what have you been up to since we last talked with your book and everything? It's been about a year since then.
Yeah. So since we last talked, the book is done. I think I was in the midst of the, I don't even know what to call it, craziness of writing the book. So it's done and it's coming out very, very soon. I don't know when this is going to air. It might already be out by then. But yeah, it's been a heavy and exciting year with the upcoming book.
I bet. I can see it being heavy just because of like the topic of your book where you're talking about, for those of you who don't know her book, it's called I Can Fix This and Other Lies I Told Myself While Parenting My Struggling Child, correct?
Yes.
So it's a lot. And I watched the video and we'll put it in the show notes of you and your son talking about like his mental health struggles and how that was for both of you and just opening up about it. And I think it was such an important message that you shared in that video that I'm sure you're sharing in your book because I think mental health is something that impacts everybody in one way or another.
Yeah. So that video went viral pretty quickly because I don't know that there are a lot of moms and sons publicly having this very raw conversation about mental health. Most of the comments were just like people relating or people saying, I wish I could have this conversation. Some of them were adults saying, I wish I could have this conversation with my parent now because this was me as a teenager. And just a lot of people, you know, relating to what my son was saying about what depression, anxiety, and all that stuff feels like. And that conversation is what actually led to the book. My literary agent, who was my agent for my first book, said, if you guys are willing to, I think there's so much more we want to know about this story. And so I sat down with my son and I have a very strict rule with my kids. I will not post anything without their full permission. I don't care if they drank, you know, milk yesterday. I will not say they drank milk yesterday if I don't have their full permission. So obviously I was never going to share anything without him and he was all in and then even agreed to write the last chapter. So you hear from a mom and all the mistakes I made along the way and all the unhealed parts of myself I realized I was bringing into parenting. And then at the end, you actually hear from the kid, which I think is going to be so powerful because I think a lot of parents are going to read and go, let me put it this way. When we were recording the audiobook and he was reading his chapter, the director of the audiobook was in tears. And then when he was done, she said to him, I have a child with anxiety and you just helped me understand him better. And I was like crying. And I hope that's what it'll do for parents.
I hope so too. And I'm glad that chapter is still part of it because I re-listened to our interview a year ago when you mentioned that. And I'm like, oh, I hope that still like didn't get cut out in the editing or anything because they think that's so important for them to hear both from you and from him about the struggles and everything that
he's just
went through.
And he's just so honest. I mean, I just have so much respect for him because I don't know that at his age, well, first of all, back in the 90s, nobody talked about mental health. It was just like, oh, you're a crazy teenager. You'll grow out of it. You know, go to your room. He is so open and he doesn't carry shame. A lot of people, which nobody should, by the way, but a lot of people, when they're struggling with mental health, there's this like embarrassment or shame attached to it, which by the way, do you feel shame when you have a cold? Do you have shame because you might have thyroid issues or whatever? You know what I mean? Let's stop adding shame to any health issues that are out of our control. It's silly.
I love your video about that too, where you like really kind of illustrate that like concept.
Yeah, I'm going to repost that one soon actually. But yeah, so he's very, very honest in the book. And in fact, when I was writing my parts, because there were a lot of parts that don't paint him in the best light, me either, by the way, but his depression often showed up as anger. And anybody that has a kid who's acting out, rebellious, doing drugs, punching holes in the wall, I mean, we had to call the police on him at one point. There's a lot. Anybody who has a kid like that knows that sometimes our kid struggles, you know, sometimes depression doesn't show up as staying in bed all day. Sometimes depression shows up as violence or anger or rebellion. And so every time I would say to Luca, hey, I probably shouldn't write this part, right? Every single time he said, no, mom, write it. If we're going to do this book, let's just be completely transparent. And that's why I'm hoping that this book will really make a difference. We did not sugarcoat a single thing.
I love that. It's just, you're being so real and authentic and sharing, yeah, this is what our experience was like. And I'm sure, like, I mean, and everybody's experience is different, but there are probably common themes that, like, other parents are like, oh, like you said, even the director of your audiobook is like, oh, this helped me understand. And just see that you're not alone either. I feel like with mental health, because especially for so long, it wasn't talked about. And now I feel like it's talked about more, but it's still kind of like a buzzword or like self-care, take a bubble bath. But it's so much more than that, don't you think?
Oh my gosh, it's so much bigger and deeper. And I think that the nitty gritty of it is just not pretty. And it's not something you can put in a cute Instagram post with your cute family picture. Like, mental health can be really messy. And a lot of people don't want to show the messy side, especially on social media. And so I'm going to show it, and maybe it'll give somebody else courage to show it. I just thought of this because the word courage. I've been told so often in the last few months promoting this book, wow, you guys are so brave. You're so brave to talk about it. And the first thing I think of when I hear that is, I can't wait for the day when talking openly about mental health is not considered brave. It's just considered human. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love that. And something that you shared, actually, it was on, I re-listened to your keynote that you did last year as well. And you mentioned that you think we all struggle with mental health at some point and we just don't know it. We don't know that that's what it is, or we don't maybe don't want to face it. Can you explain a little bit more about that? Because, you know, we're saying it's so brave, but really it is human if it's something we all experience, right?
So this is how I always think of it. Have you ever met a human being who is 100% physically healthy? And I mean, they've never had a cold. They've never had a headache. Nope. They've never had a scratch on their arm. They've never had, I mean, they are 100% healthy. Probably not. I haven't. So why would we assume that anybody is 100% at all times mentally healthy? Humans are way more complicated and beautiful and wonderful and mysterious than that, okay? So that's first of all. That's why I think everybody struggles with mental health. I think sometimes they show up more extreme than others. And I think the problem is that when we have a cold or we find out we have cancer, whatever, normally we don't blame ourselves. When we have anxiety, when we have depression, bipolar, I could go on and on, dissociative, you know, disorder, whatever, ADHD, on and on. We immediately go, what's wrong with me? Something's wrong with me. And we blame ourselves, or we start feeling inadequate and we start comparing ourselves. And it's just such unnecessary abuse that we are choosing to put on ourselves. You didn't choose your depression or anxiety or whatever you didn't choose that. But you do have a choice in how you're going to treat yourself throughout it. And do not for one second blame yourself, beat yourself up, tell yourself you're inadequate, and definitely don't compare yourself. Because again, if you have a cold and your neighbor has a cold and your neighbor's cold is gone with this one medicine and yours isn't, you're not sitting there going, oh my gosh, I'm so stupid and dumb that medicine worked for somebody else and it didn't work for me. We don't do that with physical things. So maybe that's what people need to do, is stop for a second when they're feeling anything negative about themselves because of their diagnosis and go, wait, would I feel this way if I got a physical diagnosis that isn't so pleasant? Would I beat myself up for it?
And I think that's a really important question, because when you put it that way, you're like, oh, like, I didn't think about it that way, because we naturally don't, right? It's not talked about as much. But I just think we all need to give ourselves so much more grace. And I love your quote. Like, I even say it to myself all the time, give myself more credit than criticism, more grace than judgment. I think I told you this last time, like, I have that on my bulletin board because I need that reminder a lot, because I've had my own mental health issues. I've mentioned it on the podcast before that I had a really bad postpartum with my third. I like went to the ER thinking I was having a heart attack. I didn't sleep for 3 days and he was sleeping. He was the best sleeper of all three of my children. And I was just crying all the time and anxious. And really, I feel like that was just the breaking point. I'd had anxiety my whole life. And even parents were just like, you're a worrier, just worrying again. And not just parents, like aunts, uncles, teachers, like everybody. That's just part, what I thought was part of my identity. And I finally, at that point, I was like, I don't want to live like this all the time. And so I just think it's so important what you're doing, because it impacts kids, it impacts grownups too, all of us, whether it's something big like that, or like you said, there's varying degrees of it. Like some people with physical health have a cold, some get diagnosed with cancer, like it can vary drastically, but I think we all have it in some way, or we know somebody who does have it in a, like, higher way and want to support them as well. So it's so important to be having this conversation.
Yeah. And I hate that people who struggle with mental health are constantly worried about the judgment, right? Which is one of my goals in life before I die. I want to like remove the stigma from mental health and picking your kids up from school in pajamas, but that's a whole nother topic. I want all that stigma gone. When I did the video with my son, and he very open, and by the way, we did not plan what we were going to say. I tried to tell him, hey, what if I ask you this question? Every time I tried to sort of plan out the video, he was like, nope, we're going to sit down on the couch and we're just going to have a raw conversation. I don't want to have anything planned. And I think that's why it ended up being so good, because he was like, I don't want to know anything ahead of time. But when we posted that, there were, most of the comments were very positive, but there were a few comments that were like, Christina, how dare you do this to your son? How dare you let him talk about this so publicly? And I did a video response. I said, would you have said the same thing if my son and I sat down and we discussed, let's say that he had cancer, he doesn't, his cancer diagnosis? Would you have said, I can't believe you let him talk about it? So no, you know what you do? You'd probably start a fundraiser and raise money for him. That's what you would do, right? So you are the one that is choosing to add shame to our situation. We don't have it. We don't have any shame. You're the one that believes that we should have it. And that's for you to handle. That's a you problem.
Yeah. I think if anything, you can be so proud of the fact that you were able to do that and that it was brave. And that, like you were saying, it shouldn't need to be brave. We should be able to talk about it just like we do a cancer diagnosis or Alzheimer's or whatever else physical might come up. Like, mental health is health. That's why health is part of the word.
Yeah. And something that I really learned from the last 5 or so years with my son's health is our mental health does affect our physical health. You can't ignore it. Because if you don't deal with it in one way, it's going to show up in another way. But it is going to show up. And the other thing, sometimes parents are like, I need to just prioritize my children. I can't do this right now. Well, your mental health affects your children. Because you can put on a fake smile all you want. Our children are so much smarter than that. You can say one thing, but if they're feeling a different sort of vibe coming from you and you're full of anxiety or you're really depressed, our kids feed off of that. So if you don't feel worthy to do it for you, do it for your children. Go get the help you deserve.
100%. And that's what we talk about a lot in the club, and even things I've been researching as I've actually been writing a book as well, which I'm like, wow, you've written two. I'm like, that's amazing. Because now I realize how much work writing a book is. But just like realizing that feelings, like when we just bury them inside us, they don't just go away. And they can cause, like you were saying, our mental health affects our physical health, like quite literally, if you dive into the research of it. And like you said, the energy that we show up with, if we don't take care of ourselves, it's going to impact how we are able to be with our kids. And we shouldn't ever shame ourselves for how we show up either. It's like some days, like getting out of bed and getting them to school is an accomplishment.
And I think everything, not to be cheesy, but everything is a learning opportunity. But I think, you know, we talk very openly in our house about mental health, especially since everything we've been through. My youngest is 9. And since his brother started struggling when he was 3. So he knows all about mental health. And so when I am having one of those days where I can barely get myself out of bed and, you know, I'm extra anxious, I will be open about it. I believe everything should be age appropriate, right? So I'm not going to say anything that'll freak my kid out, but I will say to him, hey, Ari, I'm just having one of those days that's a little heavier. Do you ever have one of those days? And then this is the important part, parents, follow it up with what you're going to do about it, right? So I'll say, so you know what? What I really wanted to do today was just stay in bed. But I think what would help me is to maybe call a friend and go for a walk. So I'm going to do that. What do you think about that? And that way, just through having this little talk with him, not a lecture, but I'm saying this as I'm preparing his lunch or whatever, and I'm asking him for advice. What would you do if you were having a heavy day? Now he's processing all this. And the best part is it's normal. It's normalizing for him. So when he's having a bad day, or when he's a teenager, or when he's a 50-year-old man and doesn't want to get out of bed, instead of blaming himself, he'll go, oh, this is normal. People feel this sometimes. And I have a choice to take a tiny little step that might make me feel a little better.
And I love what you're saying about this too, because this is a podcast for educators, right? And a lot of what we do as teachers is we model what we want the kids to do, right? So it's not just like explicitly telling them you do this, but we do it, we show them. Yeah. And it's such a powerful way we can do this as teachers with kids in our classroom. If you don't have your own kids, you can even do this. If you're having a rough day at school, let the students know and model that, because their parents may or may not know how or have the capacity to be doing that themselves. And then if you're a parent and have your own kids, do it with them too. I feel like I have been improving on how I open up with that with my kids. It's figuring out that like age appropriate way to do it. But I just love the way that you shared here.
We will get right back to the interview, but if you are enjoying this episode and want to hear more from Christina, don't miss the Sears Educate and Rejuvenate event. Rather than just listening to us talk here on the podcast, you'll get to be an active participant in it. The chat is hopping. You'll get to engage with Christina. She reads your comments. We get to play off of each other, and it is so much fun. Plus, you'll get to enjoy Gaspar Randazzo's keynote. We had him on the podcast recently. He's so hilarious. We're going to have a full panel of incredible sessions on topics from STEM, reading, writing, math, language arts, burnout, organization, classroom management, homeschooling, everything you could think of. Plus, you're going to get a curated course from me about my three-step coaching framework that we've been touching on this podcast, but you're going to get such a deeper understanding of it. There'll be live open life coaching where you can raise your hand and get coached without having to join the membership. Just try it out at the event. And there will be giveaways and community workouts, yoga, cardio, so much more. Go to educateandrejuvenate.com to grab your ticket today.
And by the way, I'm not perfect at it either. And that's the goal I have in life. It's not even a goal to be perfect, because I have very realistic goals. That's why.
Very realistic. I mean, even the title of your book is like the lies you told yourself while parenting your struggling child. And in your video, you talked about, oh yeah, I share the mistakes that I made too. And we all make mistakes, you know? So and it's just about doing the best we can with the information we have and where we're at mentally, emotionally, all of that.
Yeah. And the biggest thing I had to learn in my parenting journey from even before my son was struggling is that we're allowed to make the same mistake 5 times or 10 or 15. And that's also very human, because so many times I would be like, okay, I got it now. I know I'm going to handle that. I am not going to lose my temper, or I'm going to handle it this way or whatever. And then I'm great at it like 3 times. And then suddenly something happens and I do exactly the thing that I told myself I would never do again. And then I beat myself. Now I don't beat myself up for it anymore. I just go, I am just learning every day. And I'm part of learning is making mistakes. Otherwise learning would be very boring. So let yourself make the mistake over and over again without beating yourself up.
Yes. And the other thing that I've noticed even with our members is like beating themselves up about beating themselves up. Like, oh, I can't believe it. Like it's almost this cycle. And you know what? When I can catch myself beating myself up now, what I've been trying to focus on more is, okay, how quickly can I come back to treating myself well? You know, because we're going to find ourselves being hard on ourselves or doing that. But it's like, okay, I'm catching it and I am shifting it and just showing myself some love again, because I deserve that just like my kids do, or just like my students do.
Yeah. And you're right. It's about how quickly can you interrupt that negative thought? And what I found is it's not that, you know, oh, I am now 100% so confident that I never beat myself up. I never feel guilt or inadequate. It's not that. It's that with every year or month or whatever, as I'm, you know, taking care of myself better and wanting to learn and wanting to do better, I am more quick to interrupt. And the more quick to interrupt, it becomes way easier, because before it would take me hours. Sometimes I wouldn't interrupt it till the next day. I'd let myself dwell in it, right? And now a negative thought enters my mind about myself and I'm like, within seconds, I'm like, no, we're not going there. No. We're not going today.
Yes, exactly. And even like what you mentioned about making that same mistake again, even now, like, oh, I'm going to make the same mistake 5 times, 10 times, whatever. It's like, you're still improving when you notice it, even if it's the day later, because there was a point where you didn't even realize that, oh, maybe I shouldn't think that way or do that thing. Intellectually realizing it is one way, but it takes a lot more time to not just intellectually understand something and to actually do it. I was actually talking to a coach friend about this today. It was something I've been dealing with. And she like tells me like this advice. I'm like, and I know all of that intellectually. And then actually doing it is totally different, you know?
But so, that's why I stopped saying, all the break. That's why I stopped saying to my kids, you know better. I used to say that. I think most parents have at one point said, you know better. And then I thought, I am such a hypocrite. How many things do I know better, but I still do them? And I was like, okay, Christina, you're not allowed to say that to your kid anymore.
Yeah, because we all do that. And that's a really common phrase too. A lot of parents will say and do that. I mean, I know I've said it, you know, but yeah, when you're like, oh, you know better, it's like, well, how many things do I know better? And yet I still do it the other way. And it's just not that simple because we're human.
And also what I learned is I used to think these certain things I was telling my kids, like, you know better, was a positive way to say it. Hey, you know better. Or I'd say, you're smarter than that. And then I went, no, what that really feels like if someone said that to me is you're being stupid. You know what I mean? Or you're not doing the thing you should know. So all it really does is throw more negativity on a kid. And now they're already feeling bad about whatever they did. Now you're adding to it. So I realized, my goodness, some of these things that I was saying that I thought were like you're smarter than that. I thought that was like a encouragement. Like, look, I know that you're smart. But really the way my teenager heard that was, he's stupid. I was like, wow, okay.
But then it's just noticing, like you said, you felt like you were coming from a good place with that. And it's just realizing, oh, okay, now I realize I'm going to try not to say it that way anymore, but not beating yourself up for ever saying it that way, you know?
Exactly. It's just about being open. That's all it is. And sometimes as parents, it's very hard for us to make different decisions than how we were raised. And I write in the book how whenever I've made a parenting decision that's completely opposite of how my parents would have handled it, I felt like a disobedient little child, even though I'm 45 years old. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, of like, ooh, who am I to think I know better than my mom and dad knew? And you got to just learn to trust yourself a lot of times, and that's hard. And so it's sort of like having that outfit that is outgrown and you realize it's not good for you anymore. It's too tight or whatever. And you get rid of it. And you're like, I'm gonna give this outfit a try and see if this works better for me.
Yeah. It's like trying on clothes and seeing what fits you. And it might fit somebody else great, but it doesn't fit you. And I think it's all about being authentic and true to yourself. And that will allow you to have better relationships with your kids or with your partner or with your students in your classroom.
Yeah. By the way, I know you have a lot of teachers that listen. So can I just praise teachers first?
Do.
So I write in the book how my son didn't graduate high school with his classmates because he was hospitalized. He had all these mental health struggles, just a lot of stuff. So they're all graduating and he didn't get to graduate. And then 5 months later, he got to graduate and I threw him a graduation ceremony and I bought him a cap and gown. And I decided he was valedictorian because he was the only kid graduating that day.
I love it.
Anyway, I just, the other day, I hadn't seen her. This was in 2021, the graduation. I hadn't seen her since then. I ran into a teacher of his and I immediately started bawling and I grabbed her by the shoulders and I said, do you know that you are the reason my son graduated? You are the reason. My son to this day would not have a high school diploma if it wasn't for you. And it wasn't necessarily what she taught him as far as what you're supposed to, right? It was the way she refused to see him, regardless how he acted. She refused to label him as the bad kid and she saw a hurting kid. And she was so compassionate. I remember at one point he had missed a class and she got in touch with me and I said, no, he's not skipping. He's really struggling right now. We're trying to figure out what to do. We thought we were going to have to hospitalize him again. And she came by the house and she didn't even ring the doorbell. She didn't bother us. She just dropped off something for him and something for me and then just left. And by the way, teachers, don't feel like you have to do this. You already have plenty of work. It's the fact that she was so thoughtful and she had every reason to be constantly just like, oh my God, this kid is the worst kid ever, because my son a lot of times acted. That's how his depression showed up. But instead, she always just saw him beyond those symptoms. And so anyway, she's one of the most powerful people in his life.
I just have chills like listening to that story because I just feel like teachers don't always understand like how much of an impact they are making with things like that, or even just like giving the kid who really needs a smile, what the difference that we make for the students. But not putting that pressure either, you know, because of course a lot, but.
She said to me, she said to me, you're one of the parents who cares. I was like, what does that mean? And she said, there are so many kids who are struggling and their parents are just, I've had enough. I just can't wait for this kid to turn 18 and I can kick him out. And so that's the power you teachers have, is that she was able to be that voice in those kids' lives that was like, you got this. I believe in you. I know it's hard. What's the one little next step you can take? You know, just this voice that they were not getting at home. And I think sometimes teachers don't even have the opportunity. This was a very small school setting where families knew each other. But a lot of times teachers don't even know what the family life is like and don't know how the parents are treating the child. So yeah, I think teachers have probably saved a lot of lives.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, there are wonderful teachers out there and the wonderful parents too. And, but then there, again, the parents who, like, if their child is struggling and they don't know how to handle it, everybody, I really do believe everybody's trying the best they can with whatever capacity they have. As a teacher, it's really hard to see these parents and students who are struggling and just trying to just have as much grace for everybody.
And of course, sometimes it's easier for the teacher to have grace because they're not living with the kid 24/7, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of dynamics that play into it, but I think teachers have way more power than they realize. And I bet every teacher has no idea the full impact they've actually made. Like, I think they would be, their minds would be blown if someone could somehow gather all of their former students who they have positively affected in one room. I think they'd be just shocked.
I think so too. And just thinking about even like the kids I've taught, I'm like, oh wow, like doing the math of like how old they are now. I wonder what their life looks like right now. And just, it would be amazing to be able to put them in that room.
Yeah.
That, like, oh, just thinking about that. So one question that I wanted to ask you too is, we've kind of talked about it, but what advice would you have for educators who are dealing with children with mental health struggles and they don't necessarily know what's going on at home? What advice would you have?
I mean, sort of what I said about you can see a bad behavior, but don't see a bad kid, right? Because bad behavior is usually a sign of something deeper. We all know that. But also I write in my first chapter of the new book, I Can Fix This, how I just assumed that when Luca was starting to act different, that it was just teenage hormones. And I was like, oh, I got this. Because when I finished, I studied theater in college. And right out of college, I worked as an assistant theater director at a high school. And because I was so young, these teenagers would open up to me more than other teachers. And so I sat with a girl while she told me she was pregnant. I was the first person she told. And I sat with a kid whose parents were getting divorced and he was crying. So I was like, oh, I have all this experience with teenagers. I got this. And basically what I had to learn is that I was coming from a place of assumption and sometimes from a place of judgment and not a place of curiosity. And I think that's the most beautiful thing you can give another human being, whether it's your student, your child, your spouse, come from a place of curiosity, always. I think just it's so such a simple change of mindset, but it can be really powerful.
In one of my chapters, that's all about curiosity, because I think it's what we need to come out like with ourselves too, with ourselves, with other people. It's like, we can just come up with and be like, I wonder why, because then it gets the shame and the judgment and just really trying to understand the humanity behind whatever is going on. So yeah. I love that you brought that up.
I wrote in the book how I had to learn to stand in awe of Luca's story. Can you imagine if we all gave our loved ones the gift of standing in awe of their story? Not what we want their story to be, not what we think their story should be. Just stand in awe of their story.
Yeah, I think if everybody did that for themselves and for everyone around them, can you just imagine what the world would look like? It would be so much different, because it's definitely not what comes naturally to us. I found it so helpful as I've tried to get more into curiosity. And I love what you said about awe too, because I don't know, have you read Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart?
Love her. Yeah.
I love her so much. But when she has a picture of wonder versus awe, and awe is you're just reveling in it. And so I just love that word, reveling in like their story and just being curious about it. And
I think what's hard for us parents is that when our kids are struggling, we go into fixing mode. We go into there's a problem. And I, as a parent, if I'm a good parent, I will find the solution. That's what good parents do. Right. And that's what my book is called. I Can Fix This. Another lies I told myself, because I went into fixing mode. Yeah. And what I realized is that in every interaction with my child, I have a choice whether to control or connect. Mm-hmm. And control has never gotten me anywhere good. It made me feel good in the moment. Oh, look at me. I'm being proactive. I'm getting stuff done. But it did not help long term at all. It was choosing to go, I don't need to fix this. I need to sit with him in it. And I need to learn from him how to best support him. And if it's different than his sister needed support or my best friend was struggling the same, that's exactly what it should be. It's a unique situation. So we, again, very good intentions. We want to make it better as parents. And sometimes we just need to stop back and go, I don't have to just do. Sometimes I just need to be. Who can I be for him today?
Yeah. I love that. Like just that shift from fixing this to just being present with him. And why do you think like the natural inclination for us as parents is to try to fix it rather than that sitting and being with them? I feel like it takes some conscious effort to be, okay, I'm not going to try to fix this. So why do you think that is?
Because I think we've been taught that that's what bad parents do. They're passive. They don't take care of stuff. They'll let their kids just do whatever they want. You're lazy parent if you're not, you know, jumping on every little thing they do. I think a lot of us have been taught that and raised that way where the parents were just like, fix. But trust me, I tried it. And then when I knew it didn't work, I tried it again just to test it out for all of you guys. And I still sometimes like to just try it out.
Like maybe it'll work this time.
Yeah. And I am in therapy for a very good reason. I have PTSD from everything I witnessed with my son. And my therapist said something once. He said, I feel like you think that sitting in it with them is passive. And I was like, yeah, like this whole thing people talk about, oh, just like surrender. That sounds so passive. I don't want to be passive. Passive is a negative thing. Yeah. And he said, what if surrendering isn't giving up or being passive? What if surrendering means opening up? Because the truth is, when we're trying to fix, we're not really open. We are in a mode. It is one lane. We are going to make the phone calls and we're going to make the appointments and we're going to throw the consequence their way and we're going to take this away. We are just in, right? Tunnel vision. But being open helps us see the bigger picture, helps us see our child on a deeper level. I took my oldest son, I've done this a few times since, but the first time I did it, we were out to dinner and I said, I'm going to say something cheesy. If you don't want to play along, it's fine. But if you can play along, I said, help me understand what it's like to be you. And I sat back and I shut up and I just listened. And it was the most incredible conversation I've ever had with him. I mean, I could cry right now. And this happened right. The reason I even took him out to dinner is we had a really bad day the day before. And I was totally spiraling into how do I help him? How do I fix this? And oh my gosh, he's going to end up on the streets and blah. And that conversation helped me go from fix to just sitting there. Openly. And to a lot of parents, it would have looked like this is the way she's handling her son. Like she's just sitting there quiet, not even offering any wisdom. No, he was offering me wisdom and it was so helpful.
And I feel like we can learn so much from our kids and they're like helping them and just being with them. We learn so much more. We connect so much more that way than if we're just like, I want to try to fix this. I just think that's so important to be willing to surrender and be open and just sit with them, be with them, learn how to understand. I love what you asked him. Tell me what it's like to be you.
And yeah. And then literally tell me when you wake up in the morning, what does it feel like to wake up in your body? When you are headed to work, what are you feeling? Are you stressed? Are you excited that you're like, and then after that amazing conversation, I did it with my 9-year-old. I just worded it differently. I said, Ari, can you walk me through your day? Like from the moment you wake up. And then every once in a while I would interrupt and I go, okay, and how are you feeling as you walk into the classroom? What are you feeling? And it was incredible. I found out things that I didn't know about him. I found out things that moments in his day that would give him stress that I had no idea. Because usually my parents are like, did you have a good day? And then we'll take it a step further. What was the best thing that happened? What was the scariest? I love those questions. But yeah. We have someone actually walk you through their day. Do it with your spouse too. We have someone actually walk you through their day and then you find out how they feel as they're facing these different parts of their day. You are going to learn a whole new set of very important things about them that will help your relationship with them.
I just love that. And I'm going to try that very soon. I'm so glad you shared that. I love learning these new little ways to have deeper conversations. So I love the idea of, can you walk me through your day? Like,
and my 9-year-old was like loving this because all of a sudden he's just getting, share all this stuff and people, everybody wants to be seen and heard. So when you come from a place of curiosity and you give them the center stage, and the big thing with this parents, if they say something that you're like, oh, I don't like that. This is not the time to say it because you will shut them down. Just let them talk. You can, if there's something they're telling you that you're like, oh, that's a problem. You can deal with it later.
Make a mental note. Yeah.
But let them just talk.
I love that. And I think everybody who's listening, that's something that you could take from this episode and try right away. Just such an actionable, and again, it's actionable, but it's also, like you said, we're sitting back and we're letting them talk. I just love that tip. So thank you for sharing that. Another thing, well, let's see, I'm going to do the next question. So you mentioned last year, and I can't remember if it was in the podcast or in the keynote, but something that I've seen at play a lot, like both in my personal life and things, and also with just different members who come on to get coached, because we do this coaching every week in the membership, is the importance of authenticity for true connection with other people. A lot of us feel like we need to make others happy or people please, or we think that's true connection, like being what like they want us to do. But how do you think this authenticity, especially with mental health, being fully authentic about what's actually going on versus how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. Where maybe good is actually not the answer. How do you think that just being authentic can help with our healing of whatever is going on in our lives?
So I'll actually share from my perspective, not even my son's. So I mentioned how he didn't graduate on time, right? I'm in Trader's parking lot. This is like a few weeks before he's supposed to graduate. And this mom runs up to me, and our kids, my son and her son, were friends back in elementary school. They haven't been in touch since. They went to different schools after that. So I haven't seen her in years. And she runs up to me. She's like, hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. And she goes, oh my goodness, can you believe our boys are graduating? And I'm standing there just smiling. And she goes, we're trying to figure out whether we should have a big party or we should just do a little family thing. What are you guys doing? And everything inside me was like, I don't want to get into this right now. And I just wanted to be like, I don't know, we're figuring it out, which wouldn't have been a lie necessarily, but still. Instead, I just decided to meet that moment with ease and complete truth. And I said, Luca isn't graduating. And she immediately just looked so uncomfortable, you know, embarrassed maybe that she asked the question, maybe embarrassed for me. She was like, oh my gosh, I'm so, so sorry. And I just very confidently and calmly said, no, it's a good thing. He has been focusing on his mental health, and that comes first. And there's something about that moment that made me realize, wow, I'm actually very much okay with our story. I'm very much okay with our authentic story. I'm very much okay with my son's authentic story, even though it's very different from all of his friends. And there's something about it when you speak your truth, not in a, I didn't say it in like a defensive way. I didn't make excuses for it. I just said it. I said what it is. And then when my son graduated, somebody mentioned something about like, oh, he graduated late. And I said, no. He graduated on time, his time. And that's what authenticity is about. It's about what is your journey and your story without comparing to anybody else or anything else. And then when you reach your time, even if it's different than anybody else's time, celebrate it. Don't be embarrassed about it. Celebrate it. We humans miss out on celebrating so many incredible moments in our life because we're embarrassed or worried about judgment. But if we put all of that aside, my goodness, our authentic stories are so beautiful. They're messy and imperfect and different than everybody else's, but there's so much beauty in there. You just got to appreciate the beauty instead of constantly dismissing it and comparing.
Yes, I just totally agree with all of that. I was just so resonating with what you're saying and not planning even what I was going to say next. I was just like feeling it. But I just think that it's so important for us to be able to, I love how you were able to just tell your story, like, this is how it is, without shame, without judgment, but also without feeling like you need to defend yourself. Because I feel like even for me, a lot of times I feel like if I am going to tell like something really that feels really raw or to me, like I feel like I almost need to defend myself, like, oh, because what are they going to think? And just when you can just really just lay it out there and be like, this is how it is. And this is our story. And I think especially for teachers where there are standards and benchmarks, this is when graduation is. And people will be like, oh, well, these kids, they're so behind. And one thing I even wrote in my book too, in one of the sections, I'm like, what if they're not behind? What if that's exactly where they are supposed to be right now?
Exactly.
And like, and as I'm home, like, yeah,
somebody decided what's right for every human, and every human is going to take this long to, can you imagine if we forced our kids, you have to walk by 10 months because somebody decided that at 10 months you have to be walking. And then one kid, one of your kids is walking at 10 months. You're like, great, good. That kid's fine. And the other kid is taking a year and a half to walk and you're freaking out and you're feeling like a loser. No, that wouldn't happen. Sometimes, I mean, sometimes parents blame themselves, please don't, but we don't set these silly timelines on everything. And if we did, life would be really hard. Can you imagine if by 30 years old, you have to be making this much money and you have to own this? Everybody's journey is different. So if your kid needs more time, your kid needs more time. That does not mean your kid is stupid. Your kid probably has strengths that those other kids that are graduating time do not have. And that's great. Let's celebrate those. But what I realized is, and that moment at Trader Joe's parking lot really played that way too, is that I have a choice whether I want to be happy and at peace or live for other people's approval. I cannot have both. Another thing I've tested out a million times, guys, I'm telling you, I did all the research. You cannot have both. And so in that moment in the Trader Joe's parking lot, if I was just worried about her approval, I would have said, oh yeah, we're not sure yet. We'll figure it out. And then I would have walked away. And what would I have felt? I would have felt fake a little bit, probably, because I'm usually more blunt than that. I would have felt a little icky. I would have felt weird. I would have been like, oh, did I answer? Did you see it in my face? Did you know? Right. Instead, I walked away going, I don't care what she thinks. That felt really good. That felt really good to just speak it. I felt so free. So make a choice. Do you want peace of mind or do you want to live for somebody else's approval? You cannot have both.
Yes. I think that's so important. And I think sometimes we think, oh, well, by doing that, I will have peace. But it really what I've learned with people pleasing is we're just trying to manipulate how they feel. But the thing is, we can't control how other people think or feel. Like, you could say what you think they want and they could still think negative things. And if they do, then how that doesn't necessarily impact you either. Like, whatever she thinks about your son graduating, no matter what you said, you don't have control over, right?
Not just that, but if you're trying to get people's approval, you got to have, you got to keep a spreadsheet, okay? It's going to get very complicated because these people are going to want this from you. And then these people are only going to approve if you act this way. These people want you to parent completely differently than those people. They think you should do this. You're going to lose your mind, right? You're going to have to carry the spreadsheet and go, okay, I'm talking to you. Hold on 1 second. Yeah. Okay. I know what to say. You can't live like that.
No.
You're never going to. I just did this speech at a conference and my speech was called, "You're Right. They Don't Like You." And every other speech at the conference was all positive. And they're like, what is this speech? But that's the truth. Somebody doesn't like you. Right now, as you're listening to this podcast, somebody doesn't like you. They don't like the way you look. They don't like the way you dress. They don't like the way you parent. They don't like your personality. So what? Stop trying to win with everybody else. Go to bed knowing you made yourself proud. The end.
The end. Yes. I totally agree with that. It's like, we need to have our own backs. We need to be able to love ourselves how we are, and whatever anybody else thinks, like, if we can go to bed knowing that we were true to ourselves and that we parented the way that felt good to us and taught our students the way that felt true and authentic and supportive of them, like, we can feel good about ourselves.
Yeah. This, what I'm about to say, is a tough one. And I would say even controversial. Some people will disagree, but I have learned that I don't want my children to constantly worry about making me proud. Mm-hmm. I don't even say to them, make me proud. I don't want them to live for anybody's approval, including mine. So a lot of time when they ask me for advice or anything, I will say to them, what do you think is the best decision? I can share my opinion with you, but I want to know what feels good in your heart. What do you think is the best next thing? Because I want to teach them, trust yourself and live in a way that's going to make you proud. Not happy. We're not talking about shallow happiness, okay? But what is actually going to make you proud? Like, you're going to go to bed and you're like, I really like the human I am. I really like the choices I make. I'm really proud of those. Because if we are constantly making sure that our kids are making us proud, you got to make mom proud. My goodness, that's a lot of pressure. And they will never be able to be fully authentic.
I 100% agree with you. I want my kids to do what they feel good about. And as they grow up, like, my kids are still pretty young. My oldest, he's turning 10 next week, actually. Uh-huh. And then I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. But I just hope that as they grow up, I'm not like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. And even now, as they're starting to make more choices and things for themselves, I want them to know that I just love them for the people who they are. And if they're more into math, or they're more into, my daughter, she's definitely way more into singing than she is, you know, core subjects. And I love it. She'll get up and sing anywhere. And it's just beautiful to see how each of them grow into themselves and whatever that is. I'm just all here for it.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, my kids are so spread out in ages. My middle one is 19. She's in college. And she called me the other day and she was having an issue with a friend. And she was like, ask me for advice. And immediately I had the best advice. Oh, good. I just had the most brilliant wisdom. But I shut up. I'm being sarcastic. I mean, I thought I did in the moment. I was like, oh, I know how to solve this. But I decided to shut up and not spew my wisdom. And instead I said, so what do you think? What do you think you should do? And then she figured it out. She processed it out loud. And how empowering is that for a kid, instead of us telling her, well, you need to talk to her and you need to tell her that. And I, even with my youngest, he's in fourth grade and I still do it. He'll say, oh, this is bugging me. And instead of immediately running to fix it, I go, okay, so what do you think would help this situation?
Yeah.
That is parenting. If parenting is about setting our children up to be responsible adults, good, kind, good humans, that is the best way to set them up for that. Don't just rush to fix and tell them what to do. Help them learn how to process it and figure out what is the best thing to do.
I love that. And that's really what I learned in my coach training. It's more about asking good questions that will help them discover. And we can do this as parents, as teachers as well. What questions can we ask them? Keep it more open for them to be like, okay, to figure it out for themselves, to help guide them.
Yeah.
But to guiding them to what feels good for them rather than, okay, here's what you need to do, like you were saying. Okay, well, this has been amazing, just like our last interview. And I'm so excited to have you at Educate and Rejuvenate 2024 again. And we haven't fully talked about, I don't even know. I just know I'm just like, whatever Christina shows up and talks about, it's going to be amazing. And so I'm just really excited for it. But what do our listeners have to look forward to at your keynote this year?
I mean, my goal in everything I do is to be for others what I needed when I was at my lowest. As always, I'm going to share some personal stories and things, but hopefully just help everybody who's listening feel less alone in whatever crazy life has thrown their way. And then maybe share a few little things that have worked for me. It doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody, but just give those little takeaways or at least those little change in perspective.
I love that. And I should let you know too, that we had a lot of people when I did our reveal call who were really excited that you were speaking, doing the keynote again. So we're all really happy to have you back.
And I don't know when this is going to air, but I'm coming to Salt Lake City. Is that where you're? Aren't you in Salt Lake
City? Salt Lake City, yeah. But we have people all over. Talk about the whole tour.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. First in Canada, 4 cities, and then we're in Washington, 4 cities, and then Salt Lake City and 4 cities in Ohio, Chicago, Detroit, Boston. I'm probably missing some, but you can go to my website, Christina with a K, Kuzmich, KUZMIC.com/tour, and you can see all the cities. But I'm in Salt Lake. That's the only city I'm in for 2 nights.
I'm so excited. I have my VIP ticket already. So, and okay. I'm my mom, like, we need to go early. I need to be like front row.
Oh,
I'm excited.
I'm excited to see you.
It's going
to
be a great time. Okay, where else can our listeners connect with you online and also pre-ordering your book? And then definitely go to Christina's website. If she's coming to your city or even near your city, honestly, it's worth traveling to. So good. You want to go. You want to see Christina live. But where else?
Yeah, so I'm on social media everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, all those places, at Christina Kuzmich. And then what else did you ask me? You asked me one more other thing.
Just like online.
The book.
Yes, pre-ordering.
The book is available for pre-order. If you pre-order it now, it'll be at your house on May 21st. Publishers love pre-orders. So if you're planning on getting it anyway, please pre-order. It'll make them very happy. But yeah, I can fix this and other lies I told myself while parenting my struggling child.
Perfect.
And there's an audiobook and a Kindle and every version you need.
I'm getting all the versions because I love listening to you, but then I've already pre-ordered it on my Kindle. And then at your event, I'm going to get a few books, however many you would say is appropriate for me to get for you to sign and give away to people who are listening to this podcast.
I would love to sign them.
Hey, I will totally do that. All right. Thank you, Christina, for your time. Always love chatting with you and hearing all that you have to share.
Thanks.
And everybody, be sure to follow Christina on all the places and order that book.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Wasn't that incredible? I just love Christina, and I hope that you enjoyed this interview and got something out of it and felt not alone. We were here to see you and validate what you might have been feeling or experiencing or seeing others feel and experience as well. Now, if you loved what she had to share, be sure to listen to her past interview, that past interview I did with her if you haven't. That one's called Hope, Humor, and Inspiration from Christina Kuzmich, and we re-aired it recently, so it shouldn't be too long for you to scroll and find it. But if you want even more, if you want to be able to actually connect with Christina in real time, don't miss this year's Educate and Rejuvenate event. We've been talking about it a lot on this episode, but I just want to make sure that you don't forget. It's going to be such a good time, and I would love to see you there. So go to educateandrejuvenate.com or the link in the show notes to snag your ticket. If you have any questions, send an email to hello@educateandrejuvenate.com or DM me on Instagram, and we hope to see you there. In the meantime, be sure to stay tuned because next week I'm interviewing Malia Hollowell all about the science of reading and your small reading groups. And that has been a common request of learning about small reading groups. And I also know Science of Reading is very important. And so why not combine both of those together? So you won't want to miss next week's interview. Make sure you're subscribed and we'll talk then. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And if you're hungry for more, be sure to check out the book that I wrote. It's called Educate and Rejuvenate, a 3-step guide to revitalize your teaching, renew your spirit, and reignite your passion for life. It is scheduled to be released in the summer of 2024. This book takes all the life coaching skills we talk about here on the podcast and puts them together in one easy to understand guide. Plus, when you pre-order, you'll receive a PDF workbook and additional resources to deepen your understanding and application of the concepts we've covered on the book and on this podcast. You won't find these resources anywhere else. Visit the link in the show notes to join the waitlist and be the first to know when the book becomes available for pre-order. Let's continue this journey of growth and rejuvenation together. Until next time.